U luistert naar Salto Stads FM, kabel 103.3, ether 106.8.
Tijdens de jaarlijkse Pride Week eind juli gaat Salto op roze met Pride TV en Pride FM. Het wordt informatief, verrassend en vooral ook leuk. Pride Amsterdam staat voor de trots om jezelf te kunnen zijn en is daarmee op en top Amsterdams. Reden voor Salto en haar programmamakers om in samenwerking met Pride Amsterdam volledig uit de kast te komen met interviews, vlogs, documentaires, muziek en reportages. Er zijn radioshows over de gaycultuur onder bijvoorbeeld dak- en thuislozen, de urban scene en senioren. Natuurlijk biedt Pride FM de beste hits van toen en nu met een flinke gayknipoog. Hou Salto in de gaten voor alle programma's op Pride TV en Pride FM.
Wist je dat er in Nederland 700.000 mensen leven met of na kanker? Kanker raakt ons allemaal. Samen staan we sterker. Met Samenloop voor Hoop doe je er iets aan. 24 uur wandelen voor wetenschappelijk kankeronderzoek. Kijk wat jij kunt doen op samenloopvoorhoop.nl. KWF Kankerbestrijding. Samen komen we steeds dichterbij.
Heel hartelijk welkom bij Radio Steunkous.
Radio Steunkous. Elke dinsdag tussen 2 en 3 steunen we elkaar op Stads FM. Bijzonder programma gemaakt door de wijkverpleging van Buurtzorg Amsterdam.
Ik kreeg bij haar afscheidsgroetje steeds een kusje op mijn toetje.
Met elke week onze 95-jarige huisdichter Jules van Ochtrop en wijze lessen van Diederik van Puffelen.
Goedemiddag luisteraars, hier is Diederik van Puffelen. Tot volgende week.
Kijk ook op www.radiosteunkous.nl.
Radio Steunkous, Steunkous.
U luistert naar Salto Stads FM, kabel 103.3, ether 106.8.
Goedemiddag en welkom bij Hello Radio. In deze mooie maand staan we in het teken van reizen en vakantie. En dat doen niet alleen vakantiegangers, maar zeker ook professionals, zoals muzikanten en zangeressen die vanwege hun beroep regelmatig rondreizen. Vanmiddag gaan we in gesprek met Louis Gauthier. Hij is muziekprogrammeur, presentator, componist, journalist en recensent voor klassieke muziek. Ter ere van auteur en dichter Gerrit Komrij werd afgelopen maand de eerste editie van het dichtersbal Dansen op Spijkers gevierd. Louis Gauthier componeerde een muziekstuk onder een van zijn vele bijzondere gedichten. Nou, hoe dit tot stand is gekomen horen we straks in het tweede uur. Vanmiddag is ook Dina Perla er met ons Food for Thought item en geeft zij haar visie op de huidige actualiteiten.
Ja, en zo dadelijk gaan we eerst in gesprek met zangeres Tuelo. Zij is afkomstig uit New York en afgereisd naar Europa voor een tour met haar band. En ze is deze week even in Nederland. Dus dat is een mooie gelegenheid om ook met ons te gaan praten. Beloof hier een boeiende middag en deze starten we zo meteen met Tuelo.
Bij ons in de studio is de uit New York afkomstige zangeres Tuelo. Door haar soulful en edgy power sound weet zij menigeen diep te raken. Met haar Zuid-Afrikaanse roots kent Tuelo echter ook de bittere verdeeldheid die apartheid met zich meebrengt. Het is mede hierdoor dat zij de weg van de vrijheid heeft gekozen en zo de Tuelo-stijl heeft weten te creëren. In New York is zij door de Huffington Post uitgeroepen tot New York's beste zangeres en haar single St. Margaret is daar heel goed ontvangen. Onlangs is ook haar single uitgebracht in de Benelux. En deze week maakt zij dan ook haar debuut in Nederland. En hier bij ons in Amsterdam. Tuelo, welkom met Hello Radio.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Dumela, Tuelo.
Dumela, how do you know that? That's
How's great. It?
How's it?
Yeah. Kituta Setswana.
That's great. Kjale woge, kjate mele.
Okay.
Ora bense young.
Kjale bense sindle. I slept well.
Okay. Ono kai?
Kikai.
Ai?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Kenali dipotso, which means I have a question.
Oh, and what is that question?
I've seen a clip in your Instagram account. Mm-hmm. And you were waving with your arms. So what crossed your mind doing that? Because every person in the Netherlands wants to know.
No.
Yes.
I don't know why. I wave. I do my...
It's just her style.
Do hello, crazy wave.
Oh, it's really so you.
Fun. There really wasn't a point. Kevin was taking one of those. Kevin is my managing partner and pianist and friend and brother and everything. But he was taking one of those boomerang things.
Yeah.
At because we're having a press week here.
Yeah.
And we're passing this really cool area.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, okay, let's take a picture. And Kevin took one of those, and I was just doing my elephant arms. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Like my octopus arms.
That's what it is.
It was very nice to see and experience.
Cool. It's so nice. And Kevin is also here with us today.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here.
Nice. Welcome. Lovely that you're here. Welcome.
I'm usually just here with the boomerang ready. I'll have to take some during it.
Oh, wow. No. Well, all of a sudden, the industry was shaken up by Twello. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
It's so difficult to talk about myself.
Always.
But yeah. But I'm a singer.
Yes,
from South Africa.
Yeah.
I'm based in New York, in America, and they needed South Africans to sing.
Okay. That's lovely. Was it for theater?
No. So I think, well, South Africans sing really well,
right.
But there's not a lot in the US. And so I got picked up by people who are like, oh, we can't find anyone who can really speak the language. It might be for cool things.
Right.
But I never got to do it. And so I was in New York, and a friend of mine who's also South African, who I never see, happened to be in New York and said, well, you know, just accompany me to this place. And I ended up at the Lion King Studios, and they were having auditions. But I didn't think there were auditions because, like, I saw all of these musicians who, some of them who sing for like, the Lion King, you know, who
are really
in,
great.
Like, the New York show.
Yeah.
And they were there. And I was like, well, I'm just going to hang out here. And one of the guys, I suppose, who was auditioning, walked out. And he was like, well, come through. Do you sing? And I was like, well, I mean, in the shower.
Did you really
sing? And
he
was like, yeah, I did. I mean, afterwards, they were like, you know, when they hired me, I'll tell you everything. But anyways, I get into the studio. And it's Hugh Masekela's people, who is like a famous trumpeter.
Right.
And I didn't really know because he was also banned during apartheid, as well as Miriam Makeba. So
yeah.
I didn't really know their strength as like actual superstars
who
represented, you know, that
very
movement
famous.
And the great music. And they were like, sing something. And I was like, I can sing something from, I don't know, stuff I sing in the shower. And they were like, what? And I said, Aretha Franklin.
Oh, and so you did.
And then I was like a bit, you know, I don't know, cheeky with them. And they were like, oh, sing Aretha Franklin. I said, I need a band to do that.
You said,
oh, my God.
Really?
I was just trying to get, I wanted them to get me out of the room. That's what I really wanted. And they were like, no, sing something. And I ended up singing a Whitney Houston song that I think I sound okay with in the shower.
Yeah.
And they were like, you're hired.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Really?
Yeah. I was the first one of that group to be I was like shocked.
Yeah.
I was crazy happy. I mean, I didn't even think they'd pay me. I was just happy to.
Okay.
You know, I could tell people like, oh, I'm singing for Hugh Masekela or something, you know, at like a huge venue in New York. So
that's great.
Yeah. So I was very happy. But of course, like the people who auditioned me, they called me and they were like, you know, we know you're very new in this thing,
right.
So don't be nervous and go in like you know what you're doing. And we didn't tell them that you don't know what you're doing.
Okay. That's funny.
So, yeah.
Wow.
But so I feel very lucky to be able to do music in this way. For the longest time, I didn't know I would. I just knew I had that gig and that was it.
Really,
you know?
Lovely,
And then I was lucky to I think three or four of Angelique Kidjo's albums, like do vocals on those. And like just everything that they needed for Africans, really.
Yeah.
I was there, but, you know, to do vocals because I grew up in a culture where
We sang without instruments.
Right.
And I thought it was normal, you know, and it was normal to always get into harmony. So, you know, that came easily to me.
Yeah. But that's where, typically when you get, the African sound.
Right,
yeah,
you know?
Harmony, yeah.
It, right. Yeah. And so, like, in every place in South Africa, people sing really well. So I still don't think I'm that special, but I didn't realize that
they thought
that
you were
I
so special.
You know, what you know what I mean? So, and then I just happened to just hang out.
Yeah.
And do nothing. And then I met Kevin.
And then you met Kevin.
Yeah. Wow. And I wasn't going to do anything. And I remember Kevin, he was like, let's meet for coffee. And we sat down for coffee. And he was like, you know, what do you want to do with this? You know, after he heard me for the first time. And he was like, you should really do something with this.
What
you
do
know?
You felt about it?
Yeah. I mean, so we met, I was working for a music education nonprofit in Brooklyn.
Right.
And we had a studio that was like an old warehouse, and we would have different groups come through. And Twello came through one day, and I actually remember that day, it was a Sunday. It wasn't supposed to happen. I was like working on a Sunday. I was like, who are these people? Like, I want to go and like not be here. And then I heard her start singing and I just like stopped in my tracks. And I was like, what is this? Yeah. And I mean, the singing for one, but also really the songwriting. I was just like, what is the structure of these songs? Like, I've never heard anything like this.
Was it typical African?
Well, no, that's the thing is it's not. And I think especially now, I mean, this was 5 years ago. So I think your songwriting style has also evolved quite a bit now, too, in a way.
In a way. But
it's American because I think the kind of it was written a lot in America.
Right.
But it has that the roots where you can hear that, but it doesn't sound typically, I mean, I don't really know, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm from Colorado, let's be honest.
Okay.
But, you know, there was just something about it. And so, yeah, I was like, we were like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Because something should happen here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so since then, you guys have, you've worked together? You started to work together?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So that's nice.
It's been cool. I mean, it's typically, I think I write from the perspective of being a Motswana.
Right.
You know, and it's like intense polyrhythms. Like we sing clapping and dancing with our feet and drumming with our feet. And so like,
can you demonstrate?
Hey, shall I sing a chant?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Go ahead. Please do.
Sirama bani eleye, sirama bani. Sirama bani eleye. Sire yele 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 yele. That's really.
Oh,
but,
nice.
But then it, like, you know,
it's very nice.
No. Very nice. I can imagine that Kevin thought to himself, what's happening?
Well, you know, the thing that fascinated me, it was very difficult at first, and it still challenges me a lot, is the rhythmic approach.
Yeah, it's different.
I grew up playing classical piano and like learning theory, doing all of that. And basically, I have to throw all of that out in order to catch the feeling and then try to kind of retranslate it back in. And I think a lot of the musicians that we've played with in New York have had that same experience where you're bringing these two worlds together and you're like, it takes a lot of practice.
Yeah.
And
and in the music
but that's
industry,
really exciting
they like
for me,
the boxes
you know,
too, huh?
Yeah, to be able to approach it in a way that is new to me, you know, every time is really exciting. Yeah.
Really lovely. I know it's kind of like when you're not used to Latin music, you know, the structure is totally different.
Right. Mm.
Then it's the same. And also, of course, with African style, it's totally different.
But I do also hear everything from African music. Like if I listen to, like, rock, which I love, and it's part of our music, or any other music, I can literally see where it comes from, from Michael. Like, you know, I know it sounds very like but we're very musical, like Africans, and you know, and so I can dial it down, or dial it up according to, like, you know, just rhythms and sounds from what I grew up with.
Yeah. So. Yeah, sometimes you can already hear it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Even when somebody is saying something, you can already hear the melody behind it.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So where exactly did you grow up?
So I grew up on a farm.
On a farm.
Yeah. In New York.
In Colorado.
A farm girl.
Oh, okay.
A farm girl in South Africa. Kevin, you didn't grow up on a farm,
No,
right?
I was a city boy.
Okay.
I grew up on a farm in the northwest province of South Africa.
Okay.
It's really remote and right near the border of Botswana.
Okay.
Yeah, so... Wow. Yeah, I just grew up on a very, very, very remote, you know, secluded area. Yeah, so I kind of...
How was family life?
Quite. Well, you know, I have a huge family.
Okay.
And I adore my family to this day.
That's good.
I love big families. I love the politics in it. And we grew up... I was the last of the... children in our family, so I kind of grew up in I was born towards the end of apartheid.
Okay,
my family was very political.
So we grew up with that conversation.
Right.
Yes.
I'm still quite political, and you know, there's plenty of songs that I write I think are so important to write about humanity than you know, just about just fun and everything else.
But that's because it's also in your DNA, of course.
Right, right. So
Your songs come from there
also. And all of those experiences, I think, so important to me. And I was always a writer more than I was a... Well, I didn't really sing until I got to America.
Yeah.
I didn't even, like, really think I had a voice until I got to America because people sing well. But I just grew up really writing a lot. I was very... I was encouraged to write...
About what?
About... my
poetry?
Life, about things. I was just, I journaled a lot.
Personal stuff.
I was also homeschooled at some point, and that was really helpful for me.
Right.
My parents moved around, like, were in and out of, like, the country. And so I took to writing.
Yeah.
And I think... I have plenty of memory. I write about everything. Like, I'll probably write about today.
Okay.
So
you want to read about that?
Everything. When I told Kevin, I met you at such and such a place, and you said to me, "Do you want to be mediocre, or you want to be a superstar?"
Yeah.
Kevin was like, "I don't know. Did I say that?" I was like,
really?
"Kevin." I went home and I wrote it down, and I said, "I don't know about, you know, everything else, but I don't want to be mediocre."
Yeah, of course not.
You know, so I write about everything, and it's great to, like, catch everything.
Every small detail.
Yeah.
Which is important for you.
It's important for me as a person who can convey what others are going to feel in a concert.
Yeah.
On a bike, riding a bike, listening to it on their headphones.
It's very important, too.
Yeah,
because people, if they hear you, they want to come to the show. But since you have this, it's like, it's also a gift, of course, being able to sing so well. And the way you do it, it's quite different from, like, the traditional soul singers. That's what I believe when I heard it for the first time. Mm-hmm. Is that something you could agree upon, Kevin?
Yeah, I think you have a very unique singing style.
Right.
And I, you know, the first time that I heard it, I could see the room sort of stop.
Yeah.
And it still happens pretty much every single time.
Yeah.
Just like something about the way that she sings that does have the ability to kind of stop people and have them notice.
Yeah. So immediately there is a focus on you then when you start singing.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking they're looking into my soul. You know?
Yeah. Me too.
I'm just going through the emotions of, oh my gosh, why are they looking at me? They're looking into me. But,
But do you like performing?
I love singing.
You love singing, but that's a difference between performing and just singing, because singing you can do everywhere.
It's true. I love singing, and I love to share the emotion or the energy that I have when I'm singing.
Okay.
And so I suppose it's the performance.
Yes, that's true.
Right. So performance is great, and I love performing with the band. Like, I really enjoy that experience. I enjoy experience when I'm playing by myself, but I really, really love to, like, play with a band of like great musicians, and you know, when Kevin does something really great in the middle of it, I forget I'm singing. I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm like all over the place. You know, the bassist does something or the drummer does something, and then I just like start dancing, and I love that because I think I get to share what we've been sitting in a room rehearsing, and then we get there, and you know it. The experience is different. There's energy in the room from others, and they're also just hitting other points that I haven't heard.
Yes.
So I really love that. I love the sense of singing, but I just love the air, the breathing in and out, the feeling of like my head is swollen. You know, it's such a great feeling that I can never give it up. Like I literally can wake up and go, oh my gosh, thank God I can do this because it just feels so good.
I have a small clip here from you, and we'd like to give the audience a small impression about who you are and what kind of music you do. It's the clip called Run.
Cool.
This song. Yep. So let's listen to it.
Awesome.
Very powerful. Yeah. Is this a production you worked on together?
Yeah.
Yes, actually, that's the live version of it. We do have also a record version of it.
Yeah.
We worked on it together. I generally will write the songs, and I actually wrote that one because it's called Run from my mother. Like my mother loves to say, you know, tears make you run faster.
Oh yeah.
Tears make you run faster.
If you're being bad, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Tears make you run faster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
wow.
It came from that. But we did the live and with Mason Jar Music in Brooklyn.
Where was that?
Mason Jar Music. It's a
in Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn. Yeah, it's a small recording studio.
Oh.
And then we also during that session we did a video. So there's video up on YouTube as well. So you can kind of see what it was like in the room to try to give a sense of, you know, what it's like to be with the band.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. We'd like to see that. Yeah,
cool.
Sure.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where did you get your inspiration from? For your songs.
For songs.
Yeah.
From everywhere.
Everywhere.
I'm the person, like, you know,
she's writing
here
a song
we are.
Right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I really love to take places in and people and, like, really, really enjoy the experience of that. You know, even if I'm sitting on the subway, I've written, you know, songs have written themselves, really.
Yeah.
You know, just being able to take in a moment. So yeah. I
just
don't
comes
know.
To you.
Yeah, I'm walking around just like writing words, writing words, leaving them, writing words, leaving them.
Yeah.
And when I feel like I'm getting to a point where I need to be creative, it's so easy to go back and just because of I've had been other experiences after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the writing experience. It fulfills the feeling of being somewhat intelligent.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say it. Like
being on another plane.
You're on another plane than being a singer. You're not. It's just I can just write, you know, and that feels great. So I love projects to write. Like, we've just been on a writing, you know,
in writing session together.
We were in a like an old barn in the countryside of Belgium for the last few days. And just hammering out songs and ideas.
We would love to hear that.
There's going to be a lot of new music coming very soon.
Lovely. Because you're working on an album at the moment?
We're working on several really amazing projects.
Okay.
Yes. It may be an album, it may be an EP album, but it's going to be a lot very soon.
Nice.
And hopefully really great, and hoping that we are able to record, work with producers from other countries other than just the US, and work with you know, bands or sounds or that type of a thing from other places.
Yeah, because it's said many times before that it's really difficult to make it in the industry a lot of times. So how do you manage up until now? Because you found Kevin and you two start working together.
Yeah.
But it's nowadays, it's really difficult.
I think it's a difficult industry. But my thought is I have to remain myself.
Yeah.
And that will get me everywhere. If it is an industry, I think, that can make you get into like a certain path.
Right.
But you could be at the back of the shelf because you have, you know, thousands of other people doing the same thing.
Yeah. That's what Kevin asked you before, right? About being mediocre.
Right. Yeah. So I often think I really, really have to remain myself and be true to myself in what I'm trying to convey and do and my intentions with music. So,
Do you also like other styles like rock music or, you know, blues? Would you also perform in those kind of styles?
Classical, maybe?
Classical, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I perform in whatever's in my head.
Okay.
At the moment, and what we're trying to convey, I wouldn't mind. I generally have a very wild voice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, not wild.
What else to call it? Like, really very strong. It's very loud. I have to, you know, at concerts, tell people beforehand, guys, this is going to get loud very quickly.
Okay.
But any style really is great. I often enjoy every type of music, really.
Yeah.
I'm happy to like take a bit of everything and like sink into it, you know.
Yeah.
I really don't like, I'm against the idea of like when new music comes up, things like trap music, which is a form of like rap. It's rap, but there's mumble rap.
What
it's
is that?
It's trap.
It's called trap.
Yes,
Never heard of it.
Exactly. But the thing about it is, it's really huge and growing. And I generally don't listen to a lot of rap, but I love to hear new things.
Yes,
and I'll easily try and get into it and understand why it is much younger people, why teenagers are really into this, you know? Yeah. Because there's a path there. I mean, it might be something that comes in and goes. It might be just like, you know, bubblegum and move on.
Yeah.
But there's something to it for this day and age, you know? So I really just love digging into whatever.
Yeah, if it fits, then it's okay.
Yeah.
If you feel it.
Yeah, I run to slow music. I could go running.
How do you describe your music?
I would describe it like people describe it. Passionate, punk,
very
soul.
Passionate,
You know,
very passionate. We have Rocky here a song from you. It's a really lovely song. It's called St. Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like to take a moment to listen to that song.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyway, I cry when they reject me every day. I cry because I'm scared. Issues, they don't hide, they come to get me anyway. I stop now, I don't care. Saint
Oh, that's a wonderful song. It's really lovely. Cool. This is your new single,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, and how did it all started with this new single? How did you come up with the name of it, Saint Margaret?
So I'm like the only one in my huge family who lives away from South Africa.
Yes.
And so when I got to the US when I was pretty young, I mean living away, you know, in a completely different place with people you don't know. Like you know, you can't even go to the town and know like your neighbors or people around there and ask for anything or, you know, get help.
Right.
But writing was really, really like instrumental in helping me like cope the first few months. I'd written this so long ago just as a letter to my mother.
Oh.
Yes. And so my mother's name is Margaret, her English name. So in South Africa during apartheid, you had to have what you call a Christian name. Otherwise, when you get to government offices, they just give you a name.
Oh.
You couldn't have like your own ethnic group's name.
I understand that.
And
yes.
So many people would give their children, they'd be named. Yes. By like their ethnic group or, you know, grandmother, whichever like ritual it is.
Right.
And then they would then give their children English names so that they can have a government name.
Oh, okay.
So my mother's name is Margaret. And she's just such an amazing human being. And I
You're
think
glowing
she's a
right
saint.
Now.
I know, because my mother is amazing. Honestly, like, I was just really writing it to tell her like how much her influence has helped me survive in the world.
Yes.
You know, and she's really like such a simple person, but not so simple that, you know, I felt like I could fit in anywhere.
Right.
And because of like how she pushed us in life and, you know, moved us, you know, and all of the things she did. And she was like that with everybody. Like when my mother was married, she took in all of my father's brothers and sisters who were like 9 children.
Wow.
And they were still young. And so she had 9 children before she had 7 of her own.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And yeah. So, like, you know, and she's like a saint in town. You can't go anywhere. I was recently in South Africa and I got into a store and this woman came running to me. She's like, take anything you want.
Yeah,
I know who you look like. Yeah, and I was like, yes! I know, it's St. Margaret, you know?
Nobody said that to me. Wow.
Or to me.
You know, but she's like a really, really, like, genuinely good person. And so, yeah, I was just writing that to her to, because, you know, living away, just even getting on a call with her, if anything was bad,
right,
I'm like, okay. Life is okay. I can like function, you know.
Yeah,
and so So
because just... there are many things that have happened in the last years now since the new president and all that. I can imagine that there might be some similarities that remind you of segregation and all these things.
Absolutely.
How do you find that?
It's traumatizing. For me, I would still be an apartheid survivor.
Right, sure.
Quite traumatizing. And the funny thing is that the South African community in New York, a very, very small group of people, all kind of hid.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew that sense. I knew it immediately.
Yeah.
Like, just no one was reaching out and everyone was kind of hiding.
Yeah.
In just fear, you know. And it's really quite traumatizing to see. And I wish that conversation could actually happen in America, you know, through this small group of people, because it might help Americans realize like the bigger picture here. You know, it's a very hard place to be in, I think, for America. And I really do love America, but like it's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And I'd want for Americans too to come out of it one day.
Yeah.
Having had some sort of, you know, help and others to hold their hands, because it, who knows where it's going to go?
Who knows? It needs to go. That's what we do now. So, I think the world is in need of a new and powerful force like Mandela, doesn't it?
I think so. I also think there's so many people who are that way.
Yeah.
You know, like just from the South African experience alone, I know that even Nelson Mandela knows that had it not been for just regular people on the streets when he was in jail, things could have been bad.
Yeah.
You know, he could have disappeared. And for their holding on, for his wife, Winnie, for holding on, and then for everyone else in the streets, for coming up with songs that were hidden and talking about him being over and over again, for coming up with all of these other, just groups and wording it differently and figuring it out, he would have not been out of jail, nor would he have survived.
Yeah.
And so apartheid ended because of the human beings, the people who lived in South Africa and who were outside helping the rest of Africa. But apartheid really like changed because of this.
Yes.
And so I think there are many people in the world who, as much as Nelson Mandela is an amazing human being, and he is, even South Africans, he's amazing because when he came out of jail, he wasn't angry. But that spirit is the South African spirit. Native South Africans who are Black Africans were all not for war.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
And that is a special thing.
It sure is.
To come from trauma and then come back and say, yes, it's been wrong, but we're not going to fight you.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's so nice to know that you also take all these knowledges, which you haven't been in the experience yourself, but you know this from your ancestors, that it's so lovely to know that you are taking all the vibrations, good and bad, and putting it in your song. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really a great thing to do.
Cool.
Yeah. I noticed that you had your African rural upbringing. Mm-hmm. And now living in American City.
I grew up in a very rural setting, but I went to a private school growing up until I was homeschooled. And so I still lived in a very dual life. Many South Africans, most South Africans who go to even public school were forced to speak Afrikaans, which, and so there's always a duality there, and I think it shows in our music.
Yeah. Yeah.
The duality of the, you know, things I grew up with, that there's both that Western, very English way of things, yeah, that there's also that very African way of things, but that it can come together, and that I'm not afraid of it.
Yes.
I think that that's my biggest thing, that I shouldn't be afraid of it, that I shouldn't negate anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so it's so clear that you're not afraid of it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be a singer.
Right.
You know? Right. So
something completely different. What's your favorite food? That's the name?
Lentils.
Lentils?
Yes.
What's that?
Lentils.
It's legumes. It's like little beans. It's not really beans, but I'm vegetarian, so that's my bread and butter. There's my, the other side of like...
Yeah. Did you try Dutch food?
Have we had any?
No, we were trying to find... we didn't get waffles. We were going to get waffles.
Oh, waffles is typically Dutch.
Yeah, that's great.
Were those the stroop waffles?
Yeah, the
stroop waffles. Oh, man, you have eaten Dutch food.
I noticed many nice pictures of you on Instagram and other social media. And I was wondering, who is dressing you up for photo shoots and performances?
I dress myself.
Yourself, really?
That's great.
So that's your secret.
I really would like to work with other people, but I also, I don't know, I like a certain look.
Yes.
Yeah.
Style.
And I love vintage clothes too. Yeah. Because before I'd buy clothes and I have a very small waist, and vintage clothes always used to fit me very well.
Yeah. They fit me nice too.
And I just like it. It's cool.
It's the J-Lo style.
I'm sure
one more
the
time.
Day that I have a stylist, it'll be a really cool person. And if you're out there,
well, we know several.
Yeah,
that's great.
One of her was in the show last year.
Oh.
She's amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, the Jamaican lady.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. She's great. Very nice. Yeah. Very cool. You have performed in most famous theater as well in New York, the Apollo Theater.
Mm-hmm.
How was that for you? And were you there, Kevin?
Yeah. That was a really fun show.
It was. We performed that night it was a night for Africans in New York who make music that isn't typically African or music that could cross over to rock, really. It was a rock night for Africans.
Yeah.
For African musicians. And so it was kind of...
It sounds funny. A rock night for Africans.
But the thing about it is African music is rock.
It is.
I know.
Yes. Yeah. You know, African music is that, is all of that. And so that was a really fun night. It's just surreal.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Know?
Was it your first time in the Apollo?
We played the Apollo Cafe.
Okay.
It's a cafe, the smaller venue at the Apollo. But we then last year we played the big stage.
Oh,
you know, and that was very cool.
Yeah,
it was cool for me, but I was so happy to experience it and like take pictures of Kush, who's our drummer, with the Apollo thing in the back of him. It was just
lovely.
It was a great experience.
Yeah,
you did also TV shows like Late Night with David Letterman.
Well, that was actually with Anjali Kija. So. I was just lucky. It happened so quickly.
Yeah,
you know, all of that. Like, I suppose in. Once everyone was like, oh, this girl can sing, everyone was trying to hire me.
Yeah.
Which was great. I mean, so I'm grateful for it. It was
really great
experiences. Yeah.
Would you consider to write a book?
Would I consider to write a book?
Because
not right now.
Yeah, but
you
love to write.
Yeah. I know.
Your whole life already.
I can't write about my life.
I think I'd
love to write. I'd love to write books. I don't know if anything can be about my life right now because there's still so much to experience.
So much to explore, But do you have any other ambitions within the industry besides singing?
I mean, obviously, I just love to write for others. That's really my goal, to write for others.
That might be something for in the future.
Right.
Do you have somebody in mind who you'd like to collaborate
everyone.
with?
Everyone. I'd love to write from rock to rap.
Okay.
Okay, I'm that's a good thing.
That's so funny.
Nagokeman? Are you familiar with that?
What's that? Nagokeman?
Yeah.
I don't know what time it is.
Yes, I'm looking for the time because time is flying out.
Well,
here.
We have a last question here sure. for you. And that is question
yeah.
about what you would like to give as an advice to new and upcoming musicians and artists. Difficult?
You can take your time. Breathe in.
Breathe out.
Breathe out.
Breathe in, breathe out.
And then sing.
That will be a song.
I was gonna say, that's pretty good advice.
Yeah, really, right?
It's lovely.
It is a process.
It's a process.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Many people underestimate the process of making, creating music, do the whole production, do the touring, and so on.
Starting off the business side of it, or just like figuring out how to do things. You know, that music sometimes is not even about music.
I know.
A lot of it is about the management or the administration of it and how to get yourself to the stage.
And meeting wonderful people.
Sing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, nice. So.
So what's your plans on tour or something else? What's next?
We're in Europe for a little bit. we'll be back. Well, we're here for like another week.
Okay.
And then, you know, we're back in the US, going to Colombia for a little bit.
Oh, that's nice. And then,
Colorado, of course.
And then back to the US
to
take on a couple of shows and see the rest of the band again and go through all of the music.
Yeah.
And then get back here, probably November, and just do a little like tour.
In November.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's nice.
Then we invite you, of course, here.
Yeah.
That's great.
Because this is great.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We'll have some like really great dates for November and places. And hopefully it's just 2 weeks of just Germany and, you know, Holland.
All these places
Belgium and Switzerland, all of those places. So that's what we're looking forward to. And then we're in South Africa for recording in December.
Okay.
Oh,
wow.
Nice. Yeah. That's, so, you're going to be there too?
Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yes, I can imagine.
Going to go see the farm.
Yes, and it'll be summer. So we're just chasing the sun. We're chasing the sun.
Lovely.
Okay, Tuelo, if I pronounce it correctly, que alaboga.
Que alaboga.
Que alaboga.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for this interview.
Thank
you
so much.
Thank you both.
So kind.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you.
Really sharing your story
it.
Here with us.
Tsamaya Sintle.
Lueno Tsamaya Sintle.
Okay.
Go well.
Go well, leave well.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
Wish you all the best,
thank
Kevin
you.
And Tuelo. Thank you.
Appreciate it.